An impulse to protect families in child custody cases seems to have put some children at risk in the state of Florida. A story in the Miami Herald newspaper that couldn't be more tragic. The Herald documents the Florida Department of Children and Families' history of losing children in domestic situations that were understood to be risky. At least 477 deaths at the hands of people in homes that already had been investigated by the state. Preventable deaths, 477 kids who did not need to die, betrayed by the state agency, ostensibly charged with their protection. Joining us on the line is one of the reporters on the Miami Herald series, Carol Marvin Miller, an investigative reporter for the award-winning newspaper, the Miami Herald. Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
So how did you suspect there was a pattern here that called for a full-scale investigation?
Well, we've been writing about child welfare at the Herald for a long, long time. I have. And we've written about these cases as they arise as breaking news. And there has been really a sad procession of children who perished after the state Child Protection Agency had at least one opportunity to intervene meaningfully. And we wanted not to address this issue piecemeal. At some point, we wanted to take a deep dive and to better understand what the patterns were and what needed to be done to fix it.
And share some of the details of the individual cases that are actually quite upsetting.
There are two cases that interested me a great deal because they looked so similar, although they occurred 5 years apart. In 2008, a baby by the name of Kyla Joy Hall was killed by her father. Kyla had ended up in the hospital with a skull fracture and some other injuries that the State Child Protection Team, which is a group of doctors that evaluate children for evidence of abuse, determined to be inflicted. At first, the Child Protection Agency removed Kyla from her parents, but at some point the mother surrendered her rights, and the agency inexplicably gave this baby back to her father, who was a firefighter in Jacksonville. And in short order, Kyla ended up back in the hospital, this time with a ruptured heart and a, quote, pulpified, end quote, liver. Kyla died. And, of course, there was the perfunctory review of what went wrong. 5 years later, in the fall of 2013, another newborn by the name of Logan Hancock ended up in the emergency room with a cracked skull that also was determined to be the result of inflicted abuse. It was a depressed skull fracture, which usually occurs when someone uses blunt force on a child's head. And once again, they decided to terminate the parents' rights, but changed their minds quickly and inexplicably. The child was returned, and within a couple of weeks was back in the hospital with yet another skull fracture, this time fatal. It appears that over a long period of time, they don't seem to learn from mistakes, though they study them.
I mean, that is just so upsetting to hear you dispassionately recount that, and I know it's upsetting to you as a parent. How does the agency seem to have a strategy of defaulting to preserving the family in these cases when workers on the ground believe that these young kids, infants in some cases, are at risk?
Well, beginning about 10 years ago, Florida child welfare administrators implemented a very vigorous, very intensive program of what's called family preservation. Family preservation is sound public policy, and it is codified in federal law. You have to make reasonable efforts to keep children with their families when you suspect abuse or neglect. Federal law and state law in Florida say that you do not need to make those reasonable efforts when there has been evidence of egregious abuse or when, say, a chronic addiction renders a parent unfit. But in Florida, we clung to an almost unforgiving type of family preservation over a decade, even when the evidence mounted that this was not sound public policy, because what we did in Florida was we kept children in these very, very dangerous homes, but we didn't implement services in those homes to mitigate risk. We didn't have the resources. And so we were leaving children with dangerous parents with no safety net. And what we reported Sunday was the consequence of that was that child deaths increased dramatically, particularly with regard to small children, infants and toddlers, who had no ability to protect themselves.
How did you discover that the way of categorizing some of these fatalities allowed the state agency responsible for these kids to really cover their tracks, to make it look like they had a much better record than they in fact did?
Well, that's the issue that we're going to be reporting on in next Sunday's story, but to give you a preview of coming attractions, there are two things that they have done, and these things are very well documented. Number one, they allow death investigations to remain open or pending for a long, long time. There were two little girls who were killed here in Miami by their stepfather, and it was a horrible, horrible death. They were strangled. One of them was raped. They were left in a closet to molder until they were found. The mother was killed as well. That case remained open for 2 years until we asked the administrator about it, and within a week of our asking, miraculously it was closed and the death review became available to us. There are probably a couple of dozen child deaths that remain pending in Miami, and they have for a long time, and so those cases don't count. The other thing that they did was, beginning around 2010, they redefined what certain types of neglect deaths are. So some drowning deaths and some in-bed smothering deaths, they're called overlays, were now being called simple tragic accidents as opposed to neglect-related deaths. And those didn't count. And so beginning around 2010, it appears as if the number of deaths with priors were declining. But if you look deeply, you'll recognize that that just wasn't the case.
Very, very upsetting story. Carol Marvin Miller is part of the team of investigative reporters for the Miami Herald looking into potentially preventable fatalities at the Florida Department of Children and Families. Thanks so much, Carol.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.